Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. I'm Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It's our fourth season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for subscribing. And thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for the third season in a row. We had our annual Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft event at Hooters back in August. I am commissioner of all three leagues. I play in two. I keep an eye on Ira Kaufman. I think he won this week. In the one league where I don't play, the Hall of Fame Fantasy League, named in honor of the sage Ira Kaufman from JoeBucksFan.com. Hooters, a wonderful host annually for that event. And I think you would agree, they are simply a good host for football watching, whether it is Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday night, with the world-famous Hooters girls, hot wings, cold beverages. It's the atmosphere that was kind of the foundation of watching multiple games, fantasy football, watching football, and it continues today. Thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I need to get back to my favorite Hooters location on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa. And at some point, because we have Hooters manager Tony Metzler in the Todd Wright Tour podcast league, I need to get out to his location in Johns Pass for those of you in the Tampa Bay area. Go to originalhooters.com to find the closest of 11 locations to you in the greater Tampa Bay area. Also, a thank you to Bill Curry Ford for their support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and specifically Sean Sullivan, who was present at our draft event and is a participant in one of the podcast leagues. I am recording this podcast at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time on Monday. So this predates anything that happens after that, news-wise, or specific to the Monday night football game between the New England Patriots and the New York Jets that may impact your fantasy result for Week 7. Let me spotlight a handful of things in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, Monday through Saturday, you can email me your fantasy football questions. Please give me your opinions on players you are asking me about. I want to give you a second opinion. I want to hear your opinion first. It's ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at ToddWright2019. Some of you have reached out via Facebook and Instagram and very kindly said, hey, what's the email for me to talk fantasy football with you? That's exactly how you do it. So if you forget the email address, you can still connect with me via Facebook and via Instagram, and I will point you in the right direction, and we can have our one-on-one conversation via email. That's the way I want to do it. All right, so handful of things. Let's start with Chase Edmonds. All right, this is a name that I've had on and off rosters for a month now. He's currently on one of my rosters. He recently went off one of my rosters. I don't have buyer's remorse that he's off a roster or I didn't play him over the weekend because of so many circumstances. Edmonds was not the starter. Edmonds We would have felt differently about Edmonds had the news on David Johnson been different. Now, there are often questions on how honest the team is with the injury report. So there are obvious suspicions about Arizona and whether or not they were totally forthright with the condition of running back David Johnson going into the game against the New York Giants, because Johnson did start, touched the ball one time, and was done. I didn't see the one play. I'll be honest about that. But just the fact that it was one play and done, and I haven't seen any highlights that clearly show him being carted off or otherwise, suggest Johnson was not 100%, and perhaps it was a mistake by Cliff Kingsbury to even have him active for the game and cost a roster spot elsewhere. That said, you know, I knew Latavius Murray was going to play. I didn't play him. Fantasy football works this way sometimes. If you played Chase Edmonds and Latavius Murray as two starting running backs this week, you should have won. I'd love to hear via email anyone who did that. I'm not talking about daily. Season-long leagues. I'd love to know anyone who actually did that, because the information on Edmonds didn't suggest he would have enough of a role in the Arizona game against the Giants. We knew Kamara was out, yet Murray was taking on the Bears, albeit without one of their better interior defensive linemen, and Jacobs had had a decent game in London against the Bears. Yet still, to put Murray in, I would imagine. Now, for those of you that had Kamara, if you had Murray as the handcuff, I would imagine one in three of you actually just put Murray in for Kamara, and it worked out. That's the way a handcuff is supposed to work. It doesn't always work that way. For other owners like me who had Murray, I thought about it, but I just couldn't make a strong enough case to put Murray in the lineup instead of who I already had in the lineup once Kamara was declared out. Now, there is a thought. Let's look ahead, because Edmonds, 33 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues, 126 rushing, 24 receiving, 3 touchdowns. Murray had 150 yards. It's funny, they were the exact same yardage. Yeah, 150 for both. In tandem offense, you don't hear that term anymore. But Edmonds had 3 TDs, Murray had 2 TDs. While the Saints aren't saying anything, they could very well give Kamara another week to rest, because these two teams play each other next, Arizona and New Orleans. Arizona doesn't have a lot going for it defensively. So Sean Payton could feel good enough about Murray to give him another week, to give Kamara another week, and then I think the Saints hit a bye. And then the expectation is, well, maybe Drew Brees comes back after the bye, and then Kamara could come back after the bye as well. The flip side of this on Edmonds is, once we get to the bottom of the David Johnson thing and why he was one and done, because I heard it was an ankle, while previous times Edmonds got in, it was David Johnson's back. So once we get to the bottom of this, I would imagine Edmonds will be the hot waiver claim in most leagues this week. That said, here's the cautionary tale. Independent. Now, if the Cardinals just declare David Johnson out for the foreseeable future, I get it. Short of them doing that, which I don't think is coming, here are the next 5 weeks for the Arizona Cardinals, who have surged in terms of just playing better football, putting up fantasy points in recent weeks. But here's the next 5 weeks for the Cardinals. Tell me if any of this sounds easy from an offensive standpoint. At the Saints, host the 49ers. At the Bucks. Now, I know you say, well, wait a minute, you're not putting the Bucks in the same category as the Saints and 49ers. No, I'm not. However, Todd Bowles has shown an ability in games to identify what the opponent's best offensive option is and take it away, especially if it's a running back. Even if you dismiss that and say, well, no, the Bucs don't scare me. Fine. Then they play the 49ers again the next week. Literally, they're going to play the 49ers twice in 3 weeks in the next month. And then they hit a bye. All right, so here's your best case scenario with your hot waiver pickup of Chase Edmonds. David Johnson is hurt. Chase Edmonds continues to receive the bulk of the action for the Cardinals. And he's going to take on the Saints, the Niners twice, and then have a bye week in the next five games. How much does that really help you? I'm not saying he's not worth rostering, but this is one of those where don't go out of your way and think it solves all your problems. Edmonds looks like he looks the part. He really does. Looks like a talented player in an offense that is designed, and a lot of these new offenses are. It's one of the things that Shady McCoy said after being with Kansas City for a couple of weeks. He said something to the effect of, I love being here because I've never played in a pro offense where when I touch the ball, there's no one within 10 yards of me. And the Arizona offense has that look when they utilize the running back, and Edmonds has made it work for him. And he's a very young running back, I believe was a fourth-round pick just a year ago. So cautionary tale on Edmonds for a lot of reasons. But Latavius Murray, look, he was a decent plug-and-play option as it was this past week, even if you looked at the Bears and said, I'm not going to do it. For this week coming against Arizona, especially if they rule Kamara out, Murray is the running back. That's it. That's who they use. The Saints are very transparent. And Sean Payton has coached up a team with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback and doesn't seem to lose anything when he goes to the next in line at the running back position. That's why the Saints are a Super Bowl contender. All right. Outside of Edmonds and Murray, two of the top five performers on Sunday were Detroit Lions. And I have talked here on the Fantasy Podcast about how there are some teams out there that actually they're playing more fantasy football than they're playing to be a Super Bowl contender or a playoff contender. And I've told you about the Atlanta Falcons being one of those teams. I've also said the Minnesota Vikings were one of those teams, and I'm going to back off that for now, because the Vikings are clearly trending in the right direction to be the playoff contender. I know they want to be a Super Bowl contender, which is why they brought Kirk Cousins in the first place. And they went in the wrong direction last year. And after a bunch of things that happened a month ago, things look pretty good for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, there's a lot of talent on this team. And now Thielen with the hamstring, you're going to have to monitor that week to week. But Diggs, ultimate squeaky wheel there, hasn't affected Dalvin Cook at all. The fact that Kirk Cousins is throwing the ball to Thielen and Diggs has not hurt Cook much. All right. I could go back and nitpick and say, yeah, Cook's numbers are down this or this, but still Cook is one of the top two or three running backs through 7 weeks in fantasy scoring in standard scoring leagues. And he even gets spelled sometimes and others score. So let's remove the Falcons from that. They're playing fantasy. I'm sorry. Let's remove the Vikings for now from that. They're just playing fantasy football and put the Lions in there instead. And I know the Lions got hosed near the end of the Monday night game against the Packers, but let's be realistic here about the Lions and their chances of making the playoffs. And even if they do, what are their real chances? They're the Lions. They are the only National Football Conference team that has neither done either of the following things: won an NFC championship or hosted an NFC championship. Ask anyone from Michigan, and they know that this is just the way things are for the Lions, which is sad because it wastes the career of Matt Stafford, who set a historical threshold yesterday, in addition to being one of the top fantasy performers. Stafford is probably on waivers in 10 or 12 team fantasy leagues. And where I have said in previous years, the most undervalued quarterback in a fantasy draft had been a Rivers or a Roethlisberger, kind of the new one of those is Stafford. Now, granted, he's not going to get you anything with his legs. And the big points, the high ceilings on quarterbacks of Wilson and a healthy Mahomes, a Lamar Jackson, a Deshaun Watson, and to a lesser extent, Josh Allen. Cam Newton, that was always the tiebreaker. Why did Cam put up so many fantasy points? Because Cam scored rushing touchdowns. Now you got all these other guys who do it, as Cam has fallen off and we don't know what his future is. But Stafford puts up big numbers, and Marvin Jones gets the rare 4 touchdowns, virtually all of them on the same fade route against different defensive backs, and the Vikings have some talented ones. You didn't see that coming either. You know, you don't. And you can't expect Marvin Jones to do something like that again. It could be a month or so before he gets back in the end zone. That's just the nature of fantasy football. But the Lions are putting up some fantasy numbers. Stafford. Someone had asked me via email about receiving Odell Beckham Jr. and Juju in trade, and one of the people he would give up was Kenny Galladay. And I said, no, you don't give up Galladay. And I even quoted the ESPN Fantasy Football Now ratings, which had Galladay actually as a top 7 play. Jones got all the points that sort of Galladay was projected to get, and that happens. Speaking of Fantasy Football Now, a show on ESPN2 that I wake up to and have for many years as a fantasy player, simply because of talented people who are very good on that show, like Stefania Bell, Field Yates, Matthew Berry. Tim Hasselbeck's not on that show as much as he used to be. Still, I like Tim. Mike Clay, who's on that show, does some matchup stuff. He's good. So one of my biggest complaints about that show over the years has been, for some reason, the muckety-mucks at ESPN have always said, well, this show needs a host that's not just a fantasy football person, which is totally wrong. Just let the fantasy football people do their own thing. That's why the podcast and the fantasy show on ESPN Plus is so popular. You don't need to airlift in someone and put square peg in round hole. They've done this in the past with Michael Smith, failure. They did it with Molly, failure. There was one other woman that they had hosted, and she was okay. But she doesn't have the fantasy knowledge, the fantasy background of these others. I get that she's there to be a traffic cop, but it just doesn't fit. Will actually does a decent job. I don't listen to Will's radio show. I wouldn't know Will if he was working out next to me on the elliptical at LA Fitness. But he seems to do a decent job. I have no positive nor negative opinion of him beyond that. I like that Will just kind of keeps things moving on the show and lets the people more qualified to give fantasy info do it. Which brings me to Diana Rossini. I think Diana Rossini is qualified to be on television, but here's my statement on Diana Rossini. If she is the only one saying something, then do not put any stock in it. I don't have enough fingers to tell you over the past couple years the number of times that ESPN has used Diana Rossini as a primary source of information on something and the sole information on something, and it wasn't true. Now, here's the latest example. Now, I didn't hear her. I would imagine she was covering the Texans-Colts game, and they did a report with her from Indianapolis, because later on, Will Cain quoted Diana Rossini as saying something to the effect of, remember what our Diana Rossini told us, keep an eye on Nyheim Hines for production today in the Colts-Texans game. All right. So, if that was Diana Rossini's information for fantasy players, and that was more of a daily play anyway, I don't know if she understands what that means, but that was Diana Rossini's info on Nyheim Hines. And when Will quoted that, I wrote it down and said, all right, at the end of the day, I'm just going to go back and I'm going to see what Nyheim Hines did to test my Diana Rossini. If she's the only one saying it, it's not true. Here were Nyheim Hines' numbers from a 53-point game that the Colts won. Hines had 3 yards rushing. He was targeted 2 times in the passing game. He caught one of them and gained 13 yards on that one catch. I don't think I need to give you any more reason to disbelieve anything Diana Rossini says on her own that others are not saying. Let's move on to DST. Because as I've talked about in recent weeks, both here on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and on VEASAN, where I make an appearance every Thursday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, DSTs as random, and they're a random component of fantasy football. But this year, if you can get the right DST more weeks than not, it's going to help you win. You know, this year to me is about having the right quarterback and the right DST at the right time. Let me give you some Week 7 examples, and this is even before we get to the Monday night game where the Patriots DST has been fantastic. I lost a fantasy game last week solely because, and my DST didn't do awful. I think my DST had a return for a touchdown, but I was going up against a guy who played the Patriots DST against the Giants. And that was a huge fantasy game. All right, so some Week 7 DSTs. Kansas City Chiefs against the shit show that is the Denver Broncos and Joe Flacco. So in that game, Kansas City recovered 10th fumble of the season, scored a touchdown, 9 sacks, 26 fantasy points. Rams, 23 fantasy points, 5 sacks, 2 fumbles, a touchdown. Ravens, and the Ravens have had some bad defensive weeks. They have. Week 4 was awful. They were shredded. Ravens, 20 fantasy points on Sunday via their 2 touchdowns in their win in Seattle against the Seahawks. DSTs are making an impact this year in whether you win or lose fantasy games. It is worth putting in a little research to know if the DST you're playing makes sense. Like, I streamed the Bills this week. I ended up losing in the league I streamed them, but it was the right play. The Bills defense did score a touchdown. They gave up some more points than I thought. But still, it was worthwhile to me. It was double-digit scoring. I think you would agree. If you could play a season-long fantasy lineup and every one of your starters scores double digits, you'll take your chances, right? Now, granted, you need the explosive performance, the Lamar Jackson, the Patrick Mahomes, the Stephon Diggs from a couple of weeks ago, the Marvin Jones Jr., the Chase Edmonds, the Latavius Murray. But right? The floor is very important. So anytime you're scoring in double digits, you take it. So let me connect this, as I often do, to the irrelevance of you wasting time on tight ends. And those of you still playing in outdated fantasy football leagues that still require you to start a tight end every week. The top seven DSTs in week seven. The top seven scoring DSTs outscored every single tight end prior to the Monday night game, not named Darren Waller. Let me say that one more time so you know how irrelevant the tight end position really is. The top seven DSTs, Thursday, Sunday games, week seven, outscored every single tight end Thursday through Sunday, not named Darren Waller. Outscored Kelce, outscored Ertz, outscored Kittle, outscored Engram. Engram had like, I think, a half a point and was considered a top two play going into the week. Stop wasting time on irrelevant tight ends. And again, in the offseason, get rid of it. There's a box when you're setting up your starters in your league below the mandatory tight end start. It's a wide receiver tight end flex. Click that box instead of the mandatory tight end, and you will be playing modern fantasy football and not have to waste time on irrelevant players like Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson and Ricky Seals-Jones, and the list goes on and on and on. Yeah. Now, the second best tight end for the week and one of the best catches of the week was Eric Ebron. He was the second best tight end of the week in overall scoring in my leagues going into Monday night. For the week, he was 49th. The second best tight end in week seven prior to Monday night scored the 49th most amount of points. I'm going to keep hammering you about this tight end thing until you get it. And one more. We ripped on a previous Todd Wright Toddcast, Chris Sims, who I still don't understand how he has shoehorned his way onto television. Don't get it. He didn't win any Super Bowls. Hell, he didn't even win a playoff game. Most time, I don't even think he beat Oklahoma. But he's Florio's boy. Okay. Next. So I've ripped Chris Sims in the past. And it's not like everything Chris Sims says is bad, but there are some things he says that are really bad. He said another one on Football Night in America in their coverage of the Sunday night game between the Cowboys and the Eagles. In his own words, in praising Ezekiel Elliott's performance in the Cowboys' blowout of the Eagles, Sims ripped Elliott for his performance the first 6 weeks. Dare we point out to Sims that Elliott got back his tackles for the week seven game? He didn't have them. In recent weeks where the Cowboys struggled, he didn't have Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins. He got him back for the Eagles game. And, I mean, I could see it, and I've watched Elliott play virtually every game he's played in the pros. Elliott suddenly had blocking on the edges to get up to full speed, to make cuts, to run over guys, to run through guys. It's fun to watch if you're a Cowboys fan, not so much an Eagles fan. But Sims was critical of Elliott's performance prior to the Week 7 game, okay? Now I'm pointing out Elliott wasn't at full strength in the running game without those tackles. That still said, let's look at the body of work. Now through seven games, Elliott has gone over 100 yards in four of the seven games. That's over 50%. He has scored a touchdown in six of the seven games. That's what you want out of an offensive performer. And Ezekiel Elliott, for a guy who showed up literally the week of the opening game, you know, what people thought Le'Veon Bell would do last year is what Elliott did this year. And the whole, well, is he in football shape? And is there a danger of having him out there because he'll hurt himself? And nope. Talk about hitting the ground running. Ezekiel Elliott has now touched the football 159 times this season. As a comparison for you, the current number one producer in fantasy football, as I speak to you right now, is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has completed 136 passes. Ezekiel Elliott has touched the ball 23 more times than Lamar has completed passes. And Chris Sims was questioning Elliott's production and performance coming into the Sunday night game. Chris Sims, you're still not watching the same game as the rest of us, which is maybe why you never beat Oklahoma and you never won a playoff game. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks to Hooters for being the presenting sponsor, 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. And for those of you around the state of Florida, around the United States, and around the world, it doesn't take much for you to think or do an online search to find where your nearest Hooters location is. For the world-famous Hooters girls, the hot wings, the cold beverages, and the atmosphere, dare we say, the old school atmosphere of watching football. Thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship. Again, thanks to Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford for his support of what we do here and for playing in one of the podcast leagues. Thanks to all my podcast players. And again, if you have a specific fantasy football question, season long or daily, send it to me with your opinion, not just the question. I don't set your lineups. I'm just the second opinion, Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. We'll talk to you next time.